Well, good morning. It is a privilege, a gift to be together. If you're visiting us, we are so glad that you're here today. Today is a unique Sunday. It's unique in that the way that we're going to move through the rest of the service is different than the way we normally do it. What we're going to do is have somebody share story from their life. And how God's touched and moved in their life this last year. And then we're going to talk a little bit about where we're going as a church and what possible next steps will be. And so what I want to do first to start, and actually before I do that, just one other brief announcement. Freedom Session is going to be starting again in January here, and you're going to hear actually a story from somebody who's been through that. And so I want you to keep that on your radar. If you have gone through it, then there's a good chance that you were challenged and also blessed and hopefully moving into new steps of freedom. Hence the name Freedom Session. It also may be that you went through the first time and you thought that it would be just, I get to show up and then I get fixed and that's it. And if that was your thought going into it, you may be on the other side of it disappointed. Because the reality is, our journey with God requires response from us. And so it may be that you've gone through it once and there's invitation to go through it another time. Maybe that you've heard about people and you're interested. That's good. We'll hear from somebody who's been impacted by it. If you've got your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn to Hebrews, starting in 11. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. This is where we landed on Christmas Eve, wasn't it? That how do we overcome our doubt? And one of the ways that we overcome our doubt, and we see Zechariah and how he did it. Remember Zechariah? This is just a couple days ago, so just a quick refresher. He was the guy that doubted what the angel said, and then he was made mute. He was made mute for about 9 months or so. And he overcame his doubt by obedience and faith, by believing. And that's what this chapter in Hebrews is known for. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. Remember Cain and Abel. Remember, Abel brought this offering that was from his first fruits. He brought an offering not out of obligation, but out of worship. Not out of obligation, but out of worship. And church, that's where we have to move. When it comes to our offering, when it comes to our tithing, when it comes to our giving, it has to be from a place of worship. Not because you feel guilty, not because the offering plates have come by. Speaking of that, did the offering plates go by? What perfect timing that those were delayed. So let me pray for that. This was not planned. But Lorraine, do you want to come up and I'll pray? Lord, you've just given us a word that we are called to give the way that Abel did, which was out of worship. And so we arrive at this place at the end of this year, Lord. And many of us have been challenged. Many of us have been blessed. And you, though, Lord, you don't require our finances. You require our heart. And so as we give right now, as we're thinking about an amount to put on a tithe or an amount to pull out of a wallet or an amount to put into our mobile giving, Lord, let it be from an orientation towards you. Let it be because we know that you are a God who loves us. You are a God who created the universe. You made what is visible now from what is invisible through your power, Lord. Not only did you do that, you loved us enough to send your Son. And so, Lord, as we give, let it be from that place. Not out of obligation, but out of worship. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. By faith, Enoch was taken from his life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. What does that look like to please God? The author of Hebrews tells us, without faith, it is impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him, that is, comes to God, must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Do you desire to please God? Have you ever even thought of that? Do you desire to please God? Let me put it into perspective. I was having a conversation with one of my kids this last week, and it just came out, this innate desire that they had, simply because they're my child, to make me happy. There's something that we're wired in to want to make those who give us life, to want to make them happy. Now, what can happen is we can have a negative relationship with a parent, and that can skew our understanding, and maybe we just want to get away from them. But there's something in a healthy relationship of wanting, and even in an unhealthy relationship, of wanting to make your parent happy. And that's true for us with our Heavenly Father. There's an innate, a built-in space in our spirit where we desire to make God happy. How do we make God, how do we please God? It says here, anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. It's faith. It's through faith. It's through believing that we please God. So are you struggling with doubt? And here's the thing. Just as believing is a choice, doubting is also a choice. Just as believing is a choice, doubting is also a choice. So I want to challenge you to choose to believe in a God who knows you, who loves you, who's given you everything that you need for life and godliness. Seek his kingdom first. And the next part goes on to talk about Noah and Abraham. And then it arrives at verse 13. It says, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Now, if you look on your program, today is labeled Reflecting Back and Looking Ahead. And see, there's a gift as we reflect back and remember God's movement. Because that's what we do, or that's what the author does in Hebrews. He reflects back and points out all of these people of faith and what they did, how God met them, how they were rewarded. And the call for us now as a church, Crossroads, is for us to reflect back at God's faithfulness. To reflect back at how some 15 or so years ago, I don't know the exact date, a group of people was called out of Bethel. Now, here's the thing. As I was thinking about this, every time we talk about this, we go into the negative. And I want to say, let's put that to bed now because we've dealt with it. Can I get an agree? I agree. Or an amen? Let's put that to bed. We've dealt with it. We've sought reconciliation. We've repented. God has dealt with that. As far as we are concerned, we are set free. Let's be free. Let's remember, let's reflect back. God called this group out of Bethel. Why? For what? For mission. God birthed in this group of people a desire to be and to live the way that Jesus called them to live, as a light in the midst of the city. On the coast. Agree? So as we reflect back, that has to be a starting place for it, doesn't it? Because that's where we began. Now, there are movements in and out and back and forth, but we arrived back on this when Jody and I and our family first came about 6 years ago, and we arrived and we started this work of movement and building. And when we arrived, we were a little bit smaller than we are today. Right? And God has been faithful. And if you have been here from before, then you will have seen how God has brought this unique, beautiful, you're beautiful, group of people together. Now here's the next part. So we're reflecting back, but now we need to look ahead because we haven't arrived yet. We haven't arrived yet. Let me read this to you again, and I want you to hear it for us exactly where we are, okay? All these people were still living by faith when they died. They didn't receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. To a certain degree, Crossroads, we're foreigners and strangers on earth. You ever wonder why when you're focused on getting the things of the world, it never quite sits right? When you become a follower of Jesus, you're made new. You're changed. People who say such things show that they are looking for country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. The call here, church, is for us to shift our thinking. It's to shift our thinking. It's to switch out of trying to establish for ourselves this home here in a world where we're foreigners and strangers, and understand that our home is off in the distance, and that we're moving towards it. That's all of what our vision statements are. That's the final arrival at that place. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Now, this is an entry point for us today and for what's going to come next, because what we're going to have is a story right now, and I'll just invite Jody to come up, and we're going to have a story of faith, of God's movement as we reflect back, and then we're going to talk about what it looks like to look ahead. Look at that. Let me pull these off here. Can we welcome Jody?
Good morning. Pastor Joel has asked that I share some of my story with you today and how God has used Freedom Sessions to transform my faith and relationship with Jesus. I've always felt God's presence. Even from childhood, I was aware of times when I knew he was at work in my life. I attended church as a child, on and off, but my family did not follow a Christian life. Early in our marriage, my husband and I participated in Alpha program, and we were baptized. We became members of our local church and became very involved in ministry there. That said, something was missing. I was doing church and living a Christian lifestyle, but something was blocking me from having an authentic connection with my Father. Little did I know was that what was pushing that connection away was me. I recently read that sins are self-erected blockades that cut us from God and hence from our own authentic potential. After almost 10 years of attending church and fighting through some difficult family and personal and church struggles, I walked away from my church family. Life was getting overwhelming and messy, so I went into survival mode, trying to control and fix it all on my own strength. Obviously, you can guess how that worked out. About 2 years ago, I found myself facing the scariest fight of my life. After going through many difficult teen years with my oldest son, my world began to shatter. Anyone who has had to live through a loved one's struggle with mental illness and drug use will know that my life had become terrifying. All my worst fears as a mother were beginning to materialize. One exceptionally scary night in spring of 2017, when I literally did not know whether my son would get through the night, I relented and did something I hadn't done for many years. I fell to my knees and prayed. I cried out for God to help me and to take control of my disaster of a life. I sobbed and told him I was at my end and I could not do life alone for another minute. The weight of my messed up life was crushing me. I needed him to intervene, to rescue me and save my son. I prayed, confessed, asked for forgiveness, and released it all into his hands that night. My son made it through that night, and so did I. It was a new day. I want you to know that God is very much working through his children here at Crossroads. The very next day after my night of prayer, my sister bluntly told me that I needed to go back to church, and I needed to go to Crossroads. This seemed peculiar to me because she did not attend Crossroads, but was a member of another church. She insisted that Crossroads was where I needed to be and that I needed to go and talk to Joel. So I did, and from that point on, God began to work through his children here. Joel listened with compassion to my story, and he made two recommendations for me that day. He told me he wanted me to attend the next Freedom Sessions. Unfortunately, the program would not be starting again for many months, so he wanted me to meet with Peter and Rennie. So even though this was completely out of my comfort zone, I drove to the home of this lovely couple that I had never met before, and they invited me into their living room and listened with compassion and no judgment as I cried and poured out my heart to them. Then they prayed for me, and I experienced something that I had not felt for a very long time, hope. I left there knowing that God was in control of my life and that there was hope. Since attending Crossroads, there's been many other experiences of God connecting me with his children here and using them to speak into my heart. Please know that God is very much at work here. And when I say here, I do not mean this physical place, but this family of followers. So when Freedom Sessions finally started in January 2018, I was feeling as if God had already been preparing me for this, for the sessions through those months leading up to it. I was ready for whatever the process was because I knew that if my marriage and my family was to survive, I could no longer go on living my life this way. I was living a life controlled by fear, anger, and hopelessness. I had become someone I not only did not know, but honestly hated. I did not want to be this person anymore. I knew that if I wanted to be the mother, wife, daughter, sister, and friend that I wanted to be, I needed to change. So I committed. Freedom Sessions is just that, a commitment. It was not easy. It was probably one of the hardest things I've ever done, but it was worth every minute and every tear. It basically felt like I was allowing God to carry out an excavation of my life. He started to dig through the hard shell that I had put up to hide who I really was. I was able to learn that I had spent a lifetime trying to control my life and cover up my feelings of shame, worthlessness, and failure by building up a facade that of what people wanted me to be. So, of course, when the circumstances of my life started to shatter that image and reveal the reality of my life, it broke me. I thought I could earn love by pleasing people and becoming who they needed me to be. No wonder I didn't even recognize myself anymore. Through the small group experiences and through my triad, I began to learn how to be vulnerable and trust again. As these beautiful women shared their stories and trusted me with their true selves, I was permitted to finally be real. One night, as we told each other our stories, and as I listened and my heart ached with compassion for each of them, God spoke to me. He said, "How is it that you feel no judgment and only compassion for these women, yet you will not provide that same grace for yourself?" It started to change my entire perspective, and from then on, I was able to move forward in forgiveness. These women have become my soul sisters. The support and friendship that they have provided and continue to provide is one of the greatest gifts God has blessed me with. I will be forever grateful to them for their willingness to share their vulnerability and truth with me. The authenticity of this friendship means everything to me. As I let God do the work necessary to break down the facade that I had built to protect myself, it allowed the message of Jesus's love, grace, forgiveness for me to finally begin to sink into my heart. At last, I was ready to receive the message that had been offered to me many times in my life, but that I had been pushing away. I was free from the chains of sin and lies that I had allowed to keep me imprisoned for so long. I was finally able to reveal the person that God created me to be. It was life-changing. I've truly been transformed. People that know me and love me have told me that there is something different about me. And I will be honest with you, my circumstances have not really changed. My relationship with my son is still very difficult. There is still a lot of pain and unresolved conflict. But the difference is, as I go through those trials, I can feel joy and peace because of Jesus' love and grace for me, and that is a miracle in my life. I just really want to encourage anyone who wants to have a deeper connection to God, to who God is and who they are in Him, to consider going through this process. You do not have to be going through a difficult experience to benefit from this program. Freedom Sessions is for anyone battling with sin and lies from the enemy. So everyone. It will not be easy, but it will be good. I read this quote from Brené Brown's book, The Gifts of Imperfection, and it was a good description of what Freedom Sessions was like for me. She writes, embracing our vulnerability is risky, but not nearly as dangerous as giving up on love, belonging, and joy, the experiences that make us the most vulnerable. Only when we are brave enough to explore the darkness will we discover the infinite power of our light. And my prayer for all of you is that you will be brave this year, 2019.
Thank you, Jody. Thank you so much. Beautiful. That's great. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Jody, so much. What a gift to be encouraged and challenged. And again, church, Freedom Session is one of our ways, one of the steps of discipleship that we would identify at Crossroads. And it may be that you've been through it once and may need to go through it a couple more times. Beautiful. But we're encouraging everybody to move through it at least once. I've gone through it, and God used that. No, it's not Freedom Session that changes you. It's your obedience to Jesus and the work of Jesus that changes you. So just showing up on Tuesdays and filling in the blanks in the books isn't going to change you. It's a work of Jesus to shift and change you. Beautiful. Thank you, Jody. Church, I am excited, and again, I see that we've got some visitors here. Again, we're so glad to have you here. Don't feel awkward as we talk about some of the details here. In fact, if you're interested and are just captivated by this, beautiful. If not, we just ask that you pray for us, because what we are pressing into is something that I believe will shift and change and prepare us for a next season of missional growth. Doesn't that sound exciting? The more that we press into this, the more the excitement builds for me. I believe God is at work and preparing us. Now, one of the things that that we talked about in the board was this reminder, the word that God gave for us, that we do this together. That we move forward together, that we're on mission together, that we're serving together. And I believe we've started to discover and understand that, but that there's a lot more for us to do. And so what I'm going to share with you now are first the survey results. So over the last couple of weeks, we've had a survey that went through and it was available online. For some of you who had trouble accessing it, you sent emails in. And if you still haven't had the chance to respond to that survey, just let us know. We'll figure out some way to either open it again for you or to give you the chance to participate. So we're going to share the survey results to start with, and then we're going to share what we're looking at. Now, I want to say that we're not arriving here with a set path. We're not arriving here with a set path. We are discerning, and we're really pressing in to hear how God would move us with the awareness, the reality that this earth right now, the way it is not our home. The new heaven and the new earth, that's our home, but we're not there yet. And how do we get there? We get there by being on mission with God. We get there by sharing and living the light and the hope of Jesus. And when it's been shared throughout the world, and when everybody's had the chance, we know that that's when the shift will happen, that significant eternal shift. But this right now isn't our home. Can you say that with me? This isn't our home. Okay? Just think about it. If you don't believe it, don't say it, but I want you to say it if you believe it. This isn't our home. All right. Survey says... All right. So let's get that first slide up. First question was, are you a member, regular attendee, occasional attendee? 64% of us that participated were members, 24% were regular attendees, and 11% were occasional attendees. We thought, let's make sure that this is accessible to everybody who calls Crossroads home, whether you've signed on the dotted line and are a member who shows up at the AGM or not. So there's the statistics. So a large majority were members who filled out the survey. Second question, are you familiar with Crossroads vision, mission, and values? Yes, 81%. Man, that was exciting to see. Just the awareness that we have vision, mission, values, but that there's some identification that, yeah, we've got some awareness. We understand those five vision statements, which are the end goal, which is where we want to get to. We identify with this pursue and encounter. God pursues us. He pursued us from the beginning. He created us. He pursued us when we were trapped in sin through Jesus. When we meet Jesus, then we move back into that place. We see we have that encounter with God, don't we? Pursue and encounter. And as a result of that encounter with Jesus, then we pursue God. And we pursue our neighbors around us. Pursue and encounter. And then there were those five values. Exciting, exciting, church, that there's 81% who said, yeah, I'm familiar. 16 or 17% somewhat. And 1% no. So awesome. Awesome. Really good. Again, all those are accessible online, and we make it a point to ensure that that's part of the preaching and the teaching that comes through us who are on stage doing that. Third question, have you spent time praying and asking the Lord about the future of Crossroads Community Church? 75% said yes, and 25% said no. Some thought, well, the opening of the survey said, pray before you do the survey, so I'm going to check yes because I prayed. Some thought, well, that's the only time I prayed, so I'm going to check no. Regardless of what you put in here, we want to invite you to pray. Because we know that God responds to our prayer. That's part of our pursuit of Him, is our prayer and our prayer language. We know that God talks to us as we pray. Sometimes we actually have to stop talking and make our prayer listening. And so together we say, Lord, what are you saying? Where would you have us go? We desire your way and your mission. Agreed? Amen? Amen. And these last two, now don't go there yet, Mike, because these are the exciting ones. These are the ones that some people have had genuine excitement. Some people have had anxiety. Some people are going, well, what's happening? Okay, so first one. Based on Crossroads Vision Mission Values, does it make sense to relocate to a smaller location, CMC, and wait for attendance? You've already read the results, haven't you? And wait for attendance to rise before we build our own facility in the future. 52% said, yes, it does make sense to move services here. 47% said, no, it doesn't make sense. So we're pretty close, pretty evenly. We've been trying to figure out a different word for split and divided because we don't like those words. We're not going to do those words, but we're on different sides. On this one, now I want you to take with your mental camera, take a snapshot of those numbers right there. You got it? 52-47. Got it? Yeah. Yeah, 56. Yeah. 50, do you have that number? Number in your brain? Okay, go to the next slide. Oh, he didn't show it. Okay, that's good. Based on CrossFit, does it make sense to stay at a temporary location, Ravenscry Theater, and the suspense builds? Next slide. There is no next slide. Well, you know what? Here's the thing. Because I actually didn't know that. I thought we had all these lined up. Because you took that mental image, the numbers were identical for this one. So 52% said, based on Crossroads Vision Mission Values, it makes sense to stay at Ravenscry until we've saved up and then relocate. Now, in order to get there, somebody or some people had to say yes and yes, right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So what we've got, in essence, what we've got are fairly balanced approaches. Now, what does that mean for us? What does that mean, right? That's the question now. Now, again, we haven't arrived on anything. And this survey, it wasn't a vote. The results of the survey weren't a vote to say, well, whatever the majority is, that's what we're going to do. The survey had the goal and intention of grabbing us and pulling us together to say, hey, how are you hearing? What are you discerning? What's moving? What's stirring within you? Now, all of this, what you may have noticed as you're trying to answer the questions is, I can't answer this question without knowing how much the rent at Ravenscry is or things like that. That was on purpose. That was on purpose. Why would you do that to us, Joel and Board? It was so that the vision and mission and values influenced your decision making and your choosing of those answers rather than how much money it cost. Because the mission and the movement has to be the priority, with a trust and a faith that God will provide what we need when we need it. Now, we have to be wise in all things, and you'll see that every time we do the budget, we're taking the budget from the last year of what we actually brought in for our giving and using that as what we set for. We're not saying be unwise stewards, but we're saying let's let God's mission inform us. Let's let God's mission direct us. Now, what I'm going to share with you now are three possible scenarios. And here I'll give you a little bit more detail as far as the finances go. Three possible scenarios. Everybody doing okay so far? Everybody doing okay? See, I told you, if you're visiting for the first time, this is a strange service. It's a unique service, right? But we're glad everybody's here. Okay, first scenario is option one here. Let's see if we've got this slide. Do we have this slide? We don't have this slide. All right, so you're going to have to take notes on this, church. You're going to have to take notes. You got your pens out? Get your pens out. Okay, so, and for those of you who don't have pens, it'll be really easy. We can get you a digital copy. Just send the office an email and we'll send you a copy. Mike, you could even type it out in there if you wanted. Now, scenario one is we continue at Raven's Cry and use CMC for offices. Continue at Raven's Cry, use CMC for offices. So essentially the way that we've been functioning this last year or so, where we meet at Raven's Cry on Sunday mornings for our gathering, our worship time, and we have CMC as a bit of a home base. We have offices here. We have it for midweek groups. Now, what that means is that we would have to maintain offices at CMC. We'd have to maintain the building to a certain degree. Our Raven's Cry rent is in the amount of $20,257 per year, yeah. That'd be awfully high if it was not per year. If it was per month or something like that. CMC rent revenue, so that's from the what we've dubbed the ministry house next door, is $16,200, which offsets that to a degree. And then you've got the insurance and property tax and utilities, which is a cost of $11,348. So, scenario one, we continue at Raven's Cry. There's a cost of the theater there, and there's the implications, obviously, of the rent there and the maintenance of the church and the house here, which is offset somewhat with rent. Nice, Mike. Well done. All right. That's scenario two. Sorry, now scenario two. That's scenario one. Now scenario two. We continue at Raven's Cry. Okay. And we sell CMC and the house, and then we have the question of where do we purchase the land? What does that look like? What does that cost? How do we function for offices and midweek meetings? And we've got a couple of options there. We could go back to the version before where we were meeting at Rockwood as a bit of a home base or something like that. Or we could go to more of a mobile application where we've got home offices and set places where we meet during the week. Okay. Financial implications on that one. The only clear one is Raven's Cry rent, which is $20,257. So the unknown would be the cost of land and the cost of the temporary offices. Okay? Now, I know that some of us are bursting with questions, and I'm just going to give you a heads up right now. The way that we're going to do the questioning and the interaction time after is during the lunch, we're going to have all the elders spread out throughout, and we're going to invite you to come with your questions specifically to the board in that setting. We're not actually going to move this into a town hall meeting. We're informing right now of what we've kind of participated in, where we're at. We're informing of a couple of different options, and then we're welcoming dialogue into the board through the board members. Okay? So that's scenario one and two. Scenario three is this. We continue at CMC for all purposes, which means that we would be looking at relocation as soon as possible. So we'd be looking at how do we move out to a larger space, larger land, etc. Financial implications of this one. So with the other two, we could basically get by with doing almost doing nothing. at CMC, because the way we are right now is semi-functional, right? If we were to stay here, we would have to do essential improvements. So this is kind of, there's no option. We would have to do it if we're going to be here and utilizing the spot. Would be a septic solution, which is going to be somewhere low-end 10,000, high-end 20,000. So we're looking at 10,000 to 20,000 costs if we stay here. And then there's a secondary of necessary improvements. On your way out today, you could actually just peek out and look along the retaining wall here. The logs are starting to rot. You can't see it because it's filled with blackberries right now, but retaining wall would be the next thing, and we've got a potential cost. We've got bids in that would be somewhere between $30,000 and $35,000. And then we've got an interior revamp, which would be basically getting this place up to a place that functions for our various ministry needs, which would be secondary on those necessary improvements. That would be $50,000 plus. With that, we would have, again, the CMC rent revenue, or the ministry house rent revenue, and then we would have $16,200, same as the top. And then the insurance, property tax, utilities, etc., a negative cost of $11,348. Okay? So what you have are three different options. Let me, without giving you the financial details, again, all the board members will have those if you want to talk about those. Just let me give you the broad overview. Option one is we continue at Raven's Cry for our Sunday services, and we use CMC as our midweek operating base. Option two is we stay at Raven's Cry and we sell this place as soon as possible and put the money into land where we can look in the future at building a church that is going to house what our vision, mission, value goal is, at least our initial one. Do you remember what that initial number is? 500. 500 is where that's our kind of our first step towards it. Okay. Option number three is that we continue here for everything. We basically put money into this for a season, and then we look at selling it and then trying to get, and then getting the land further off. So there are our three scenarios, three implications, financial variables in all of them. The key part that we have to consider is which of these facilitates our vision and our mission and our values. Now, some of the themes that resonated for people that stuck out was concern about the location if we were to move here to be out and off of the beaten path, whereas the Raven's Cry is fairly central. Some of the other concerns were we don't really have a community feel at Raven's Cry, but then anticipating we'd have it here, we didn't quite attain that, at least within this last month. And there's a reality. Here's a reality on that one. I can speak really briefly. As soon as you shift to two services, you've essentially got two different groups. And your desire and your goal to have an in-between connection time is beautiful. But how many of us get to church early? Right? So people stay a little bit longer, but people don't get to church on time, and we don't quite get that community connection. So the question is, when is it the right timing to shift into a two service model, right? So there's a lot of these things that we are praying and pressing into. Now, here's what the board is going to do. Number one, we're fully accessible, always available. The decision for any of these has not been made. So please come and talk with us. What we're planning to do in the next few months is discern and pray and come up with a strategy of where and how we're going to move in this next season. And that's going to have essentially either engaging in one of these scenarios or possibly a combination of scenarios and making next steps. So you can see one, we are at a pivotal place in our life as a church. Agreed? We are at a pivotal place. I believe that just like we can look back at the start of Crossroads and say people were called out on mission and they left and they moved, we're going to be able to, 5 years from now, look back at this last Sunday of 2018 and go, wow, that was a day that we made a decision that... And here's where we're going to say that moved us further on mission, or that was a gap that pulled us out and around. And I don't know what that answer is yet, church. We don't know what that answer is. We're praying about it. We're discerning. We're looking. We're seeking. Okay, but the most important thing here, and I believe this with all my heart, is that our eyes are on Jesus, and that the decisions that we're making are based on mission. Not based on the dollars, but based on being the light and the hope of Jesus in Seychelles, on the Sunshine Coast, in BC and Canada and beyond. Amen? All right. So church, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray for us. And I'm going to invite you to stand. Can I invite you to stand as I pray? And what I'm going to do as I pray is I'm just going to make some space just for us to be quiet in moments. And we're going to leave room open for God to speak to us. And then we're going to shift into ministry time. So those who are praying at the front and doing communion, if I can invite you forward. And then I want to invite you into ministry time or into fellowship, where you go get the food ready, and then we're gonna have a brunch lunch together here. So can I invite our ministry teams to come forward? You know who you are. Thank you. And so, Father, we pause in this moment. You see us standing here, and we're your children. We're your children who the reality, Lord, is just by being here is an acknowledgement that you are in pursuit of our hearts. And so, Lord, our prayer, our desire, our yearning, Lord, is for encounter with you. Our desire, Lord, is that you would open our eyes to see potential and opportunity the way that you see it. That we wouldn't be limited by the world standards, the world's margins, Lord, but that we would move into a place of seeing what is possible in you. And so we just invite you, Lord, to speak into our hearts. And so, church, wherever you're at and however you're feeling, I just invite you to hold that before God, before the Holy Spirit, who, once we confess our faith in Jesus, resides in us. Hold what you're feeling, what you're thinking before the Holy Spirit. And just let him move. And so we invite your speaking in this moment, Lord. We invite your pictures. We invite your dreams. Come, Holy Spirit, come. So, Lord, we acknowledge that these moments, these days, these decisions that we're making now and in the next couple of months are culture-changing decisions. Not only the culture of our church, but possibly and hopefully, Lord, the culture that is around us. And our desire, Lord, our desire is to please you. So we ask that you would increase our faith. Our desire, Lord, is to be on mission with you. And so we ask that you would move in us, that you would draw attention to anything that needs to be displaced in our lives, so that we can be fully engaged, so that we can be whole heart abandoned to you, to worship and mission. And so we worship you, Lord. We celebrate you. We give you thanks. You are worthy of it all. Amen. Amen. Church, I bless you. I send you from this place with joy, with excitement. And if you're in a place right now where you're struggling, where you're doubting, where you're worried, I invite you to take a step of faith into trusting God, into trusting His way. In fact, I bless you with faith. Here's the truth. God's not worried. We don't need to be. So bless you, church. Bless you as you move from here in the joy and the strength of the Lord. Again, you're invited to make your way forward. We've got communion here. We've got ministry time for those who need prayer, who would like prayer, which is all of us, by the way. We all need it. It's only the few that come forward that are honest about it. And then we're also going to move into just a lunch. And if you didn't bring anything, there's time to just pop over to IGA and bring something back. Or we can try the 5 loaves, 2 fish and see what we come up with. All right. Bless you, church. We'll see you around. Elders are all available here. So go ahead and grab them and have conversations. Bless you, church.
Hey.
We'll continue to pray for your transition.
Awesome. Oh, thanks, man. Very much.